Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the ascension of our Lord comes from our first reading of Acts. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. And a cloud took him out of their sight, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mouths agape, the apostles are looking up into heaven, witnessing something so amazing that they probably couldn't have put it into words even if they wanted to. Jesus, the one who had died and been placed in the tomb, the one who burst forth from the grave and raised again, just like he had said he would be. This Jesus ascends up into the heavens and is enveloped by a cloud. Now, 40 days is a long time, or it's a short time, depending on how you look at it. For us, it's hard to believe that it was 40 days ago that we gathered here and celebrated Easter morning. For them, these 40 days, 5+ weeks, must have slipped past in the blink of an eye. Because everything had once again been made right. Everything seemed good and great, just as they had hoped it always would be. And now it's all gone. Jesus had, of course, told them all about this 6 weeks prior. The Gospel of John tells us about this, taking place on Maundy Thursday, before they go out into the Garden of Gethsemane, not far from where we find them in our text for today. It's then that Jesus tells them that he's going to go to the Father. But after he leaves, he will send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Paraclete. He will not leave them alone as orphans. We heard about that this past Sunday. But I am curious if they had forgotten all about it, though, as they stand there staring up into the clouds. I am all but convinced that they had, because just before he ascends up into the heaven, right out of their sight, they ask him a question, if he's going to restore at that time the kingdom to Israel. They're still thinking temporally and far too narrow-minded. They can't wrap their minds around the bigger picture. We probably should cut them some slack. We're not very good at that either. But there is something else about that question of theirs. And that is, in some real sort of way, Jesus had already actually restored the kingdom to Israel. They were thinking earthly thrones and a kingdom like David's, hoping that the Romans would no longer be occupying that little geographical place on the map. That's thinking far too small. For what else had Christ's atoning cross and enlivening resurrection done except restore the kingdom once again? Jesus had wrestled the kingdom out of the hands of sin that led the world captive. He'd already broken the icy grip of death so that all those in him would never have to fear the grave. He'd already stepped quite heavy with holy feet upon the head of Satan and all of the demons. "It is finished" means it is finished, and the kingdom rests securely in the heavenly hands of the Father. But also, and this is where that pesky little bit of "now but not yet" comes into play, we and the apostles have to deal with it. And I think that's what Jesus might be addressing in his answer, because he tells them it's not given to them to know the times or the seasons that are fixed by God, meaning that there's some things that God keeps hidden for himself. Not everything is revealed. If it's not needed to know for our salvation, then sometimes God just reserves the right to keep that sort of stuff secret. To be sure, Jesus is talking about the last day, when all things will be made new and the earth will once again be the Garden of Eden. On that day, we will indeed fully experience the restoration of the kingdom of God. But until that day, the church still does live in the victory of the last day, already won for us. So don't worry about that day, about when it will happen. Your Heavenly Father has that all under His control. And in fact, part of what Christ's ascension to the right hand of the Father accomplishes is that now all of that hidden and secret stuff, all of that's placed under His feet. That's what the Apostle Paul talks about in our epistle reading in Ephesians. And with Christ as our head and us as His body, that means that it's all placed under our feet in the here and now of today, even as we await the not then of tomorrow. For if we are Christ's body, then His body includes feet, of which all things are placed under. As goes the head, so goes the body. What is true for the head is also true for the body. What Jesus has, so too do you. Which then brings us to that part where the disciples have to be shaken from their cloud-staring slumber by a couple of angels sent by our Lord. Why do they stare up into heaven as if Jesus is going to immediately come descending out of the clouds once again? That's not how this is going to work. Besides, like Jesus had already told them, the stuff that's kept hidden behind the clouds, that's all the business of God. He has that under control. We don't have to worry about it. It's in the hands of our Lord. And what better hands for all of that to be in than His? But it does beg the question then, what is given to the apostles to do? They are to return to Jerusalem and wait for the promise spoken by the resurrected and ascended Christ. To them will come the Paraclete, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Little do they know, but Pentecost is only 10 days away, and it will be then that they get to begin the wonderful work of proclaiming the good news of free salvation and the forgiveness of sins to all people in their very own language. This evening, we see Jesus setting the stage for the institution of the church as we know it. For that's what's now given to the apostles. Not to know times or seasons, but to work while it is still day, before the coming of the night, when nothing more can be done. It's almost as if the angels are saying to the apostles, why stare up into the heavens pining after Jesus? He said He will come back, and He will, just like He went. But that's in a season that's been fixed by the Father. In the meantime, apostles, there is work to be done. There's the gospel to make known. There are sins to be forgiven. The resurrection to be proclaimed at funerals. Terrified consciences to be comforted, shame to be unburdened, guilt to be taken away. And these things, your ascended Lord, apostles, has given to you. He holds them all under the authority of His feet, and He has placed them under your feet as well. It's given to you and to the church to proclaim and gift and give and share and make all of this known. Which brings our focus to us, here, sitting this evening, gathering together each and every single Sunday morning. Now, certainly, the prayer of the church always begins with, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." We want that appointed time and season of His return, and the ushering in of that wonderful last day when the kingdom is fully restored and all things are made new once again. We want that to be tomorrow, if not tonight, but it might not be, which is fine. Until that day, we just continue our prayer for God's kingdom to come among us in the here and now as we patiently await for the not yet. And as our small catechisms teach us, the kingdom of God comes to us when God Himself breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want God's word to be taught in truth and purity, and do not want the Holy Spirit to come to us so that we might believe God's word. This is the prayer of the church. This is our prayer, even tonight, even the 14 of us here. which is why we are here tonight and why we're going to be here on Sunday to receive the gifts of God given to His church, to His body, so that we might be upheld and sustained until that last day, so that we might have our sins forgiven and our consciences comforted and our shame lifted and our guilt taken away and our tombs split apart. We eagerly await the coming of our Lord, but we don't wait staring up into the heavens. There are gifts to be received, and yes, there's even work to be done. For we too, not in the same way as the apostles, but as the church of the crucified, resurrected, and ascended one, we are given to share this good news with our neighbors here at Wheat Ridge, in our lives, at work, in school, in play. And it is an honor and a privilege to do that very thing, that we might run the race with joy and eager expectation, alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ, all of them, receiving all along the way the gifts of His cross, which bring us forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. Post-ascension and pre-last day, it's during this time that these things are given to the church. And thanks be to God for that. In the name of Jesus.